We're going to be in Psalm chapter 33 this morning. Luke's intentions are to look through the whole chapter, which means I've got to stay on task, stay on target. I tell you one of the main verses already that I will be pointing to when we get to it is verse 12. It was in one of the songs that the choir sang, and it is going to be this: "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen for His own inheritance." Out of the box, just to make sure we're on the same page and to make sure that I deal with the text correctly, directly he's speaking of the nation of Israel, not just the northern 10 tribes, but the full nation, all 12 tribes, because they are the nation that He has chosen. He chose them when they didn't exist, when they were very little, and He made them to what they are. But I've looked high and low this week, and in spite of everybody I've read and didn't read, I don't see where we cannot adapt and adopt from this passage that if the Lord is our Lord as a nation, that we would not be blessed as well. In fact, I would argue and contend that for any nation in our world, if they would have Jesus as Lord, they would indeed be a blessed nation. So just from the get-go, I'm getting that little bit out of the way, because everything I'm talking about now is going to be about us. Israel's going to be on the back burner. We know that directly they're the nation God chose, right? We know that. And we know that because of that comes a special blessing, Paul argues in Romans. They have every advantage because unto them were given the oracles of God. That is a great, great blessing. Our nation, at least at one time, was a nation of the book. You go to court, you put your hand on the Word of God. You go to go into office, you put your hand on the Word of God, not the Quran, not from anything from Hinduism. You put your hand on the Bible, God's holy word, because whether leftists like it or not, our country was based upon Christian biblical principles. Just the way it is. I didn't make history, I didn't write history, but I can read history and I can study history and I can agree with what I find. Our nation was built upon the principles of the Christian word. Now here's where we have to be careful. I like being patriotic, if you can't tell. My shirt has been worn out of order. This is the third time. What does he mean by that? Well, Brother Luke has so many shirts that when he wears one, he washes it, puts it on the hanger, and he puts it at the end. When I go through all my shirts and finally get to it, I wear it again. I couldn't pass up Memorial Day, and there ain't no way in the world I was passing up the day. I like to be as patriotic as the next person. I like waving the flag, having the flag out in front of our church, having the flag within the church. I believe in popping firecrackers. You don't have to do a lot. At least go get one. Just go in there, and if you've never bought firecrackers before, tell them, my pastor said I need to get the smallest pack of firecrackers I can, and I need to pop them. Just do something to celebrate the joys of our freedoms in our country. However, we can be as patriotic as the day is long. We can be as patriotic as heat is to our summer. But if we don't honor the Lord through our patriotism, we're doing it wrong. Everything about our country has come to us because of who He is, not because of who we are. Let's go ahead and settle this. If Israel is the chosen nation, we can't be. If everybody's special, nobody's special, right? Well, that is true. If everybody gets a trophy, what big a deal does it make if you got one too? You're first place, you got a trophy, so what? Last place got a trophy. No, we're going to at least recognize that the nation of Israel is God's chosen people. But that doesn't mean we can't celebrate the blessings that He has given to us in this great country of ours. Now, there are things in our country that are broken that need to be dramatically and drastically repaired. But the only way that's going to happen is if we return to Jesus. It's not going to come through the ballot box. It's not going to come through waving American flags. It's going to be because people return to Christ, that people return to biblical Christian principles. That's the only way. Yeah, but if we get our military big enough, we can... No, by the time I'm done with this passage, you're going to lose hope in your military. Not because they're bad people, because the military is not our hope. Jesus is our hope. And so I'm going to ask you to follow along with me. We're going to look at the first five verses together. We've done part of this already this morning, but let's reemphasize it. When the psalmist put his pen to paper, he tells us to rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. If you're a child of God, if you're a blood-washed, bought, sinner-freed, no longer condemned through the blood of Jesus Christian, you are to rejoice in the Lord. That's how he starts out right now. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely or appropriate for those who are living upright. And if you're living upright, it is appropriate for you to rejoice in the Lord. Verse 2, praise the Lord with a harp. Brother Luke, I don't have a harp. You got lips. Some of you have musical instruments. Guitar, flute, banjo, mandolin, it matters not, harmonica. Praise the Lord with whatever musical ability that you have. Sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Man, 10 strings has got to sound nice, but a 12-string guitar is just like, man, it's just sweet when you strum across all those strings when it's tuned right. Hard for me to imagine what it would have been like, but if there's anything that can capture my attention, is music. And I'm not talking about head-banging, beating the bongos kind of music. I'm talking about music that's made to stir your soul kind of music. And here we're told to praise the Lord with what we do. Really quick analysis of your music that you're listening to. Does it honor the Lord? And if it doesn't, can't praise the Lord in it. You can't praise the Lord singing, I've got friends in low places. You can't do it. You got to use the Larnell Harris version, I've got friends in high places. I've got a friend in the highest place. Praise the Lord with your talents, with your musical ability. Sing unto Him using those instruments. Verse 3, sing unto Him a new song. That's why a church does not need to stick with only the songs it's got. Some of you have noticed there's an extra hymn book in the pew in front of you, and we're going to begin to be using those because guess what they have in them? Well, they're new songs, going to be new to some of you, but those of you listening to radio are going to be like, Brother Luke, we were listening to that 5 years ago on the radio. That's okay, it's going to be new to us. But praise the Lord with a new song. Sing unto Him, play skillfully with a loud noise. Has the Lord stirred your heart enough to want to sing to Him with what you've gone through this week? Has He shown up? Has He shown out? Maybe He didn't show out, but maybe He just showed up and stood next to you and says, I'm with you. If He has, you've got cause. You've got reason to sing unto the Lord. And I like that I take this idea of a new song this way. A song that comes from your heart that we don't know. A song that is special to you and your circumstances. Maybe if someone put those words on a paper, everybody else would enjoy it. But a song that's coming from you. Because too often, we're depending on what other people have penned to move us rather than our hearts being moved by what God has done for us and us simply offering out of our own hearts a song. Yeah, but Brother Luke, I don't know what music to put to it. Whatever comes from your heart. Okay, I see I'm going to have to sit here for a little bit. You do know casting crowns cannot worship for you. You do know Steve Green can't worship for you. Luke Garrett's in heaven, but he cannot worship for you. Their music is good music. It honors the Lord. It's coming from their lips. If you're going to make it as your offering to the Lord, it's got to become personal to you, from you. The choir would get tired of hearing me tell them this all the time. You got to sing from your heart. If it's coming from your heart, that will overrule a lot of wrong notes. Because when someone is seeing convincedly and with passion, you get lost in actually the music and you start to think, man, look, they're putting their heart in it. You rejoice in the Lord, praise the Lord, and sing unto the Lord. Why would we do all of that? Because verse 4 and verse 5 tells us this, the word of the Lord is right. All His works are in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the, King James says, goodness. Some of your Bibles say, mercy of the Lord. Basically, the psalmist says, look around you. God's mercy is flowing greatly. That's what you sing about. So we start individually. If you have experienced the mercy of the Lord, you've got every reason to sing. You don't need someone to prompt you to sing. When you get alone with the Lord and His mercy floods over you, you got to actually hold yourself back from singing. I've never done this before. How many of y'all sing in the shower? We got a whole choir going on here. How many of y'all sing loud in your vehicle? Oh, yes, even better. Yeah, because your thinking is nobody can hear you. No, no. Does the Lord hear you? And we tend, once we get out of people's sight, to sing a little bit differently. Well, when you're in people's sight, that's the way you're supposed to be singing anyway, as unto the Lord. Because His way, His word is right. Everything that God speaks to us is for your good. Everything that He does is in truth. Are you tired of lies that come from the media, that come from politicians, that come from preachers? Yes. We turn to the Lord. His word is truth. He will not lie to you. He will always lead you straight. And then this, He loves righteousness and justice. You ever feel like you're not getting a fair shake? The Lord loves justice. You ever feel like you've been done wrong? The Lord's on your side. Because He loves righteousness. Doing the right thing is always honorable in His eyes. There is great reason to sing. He rejoices in that which we long for. He makes us happy in those things. He is the object of our worship. And by the way, the you is implied in all this. If you're of the righteous, if you are of the upright, you don't pass off the worship to somebody. Well, Brother Luke sings better than me. I'll just let him do it. My voice can only handle what comes from here. I can't do a couple of hearts worth in my... You got to do it. And I think that's probably what I've enjoyed having the choir from me behind me this morning. Because I can hear really good when you're standing right behind me. Man, I want to use the word impressed, but really the word is actually, it blessed me. To hear others joining with me, singing unto the Lord. Our Lord is a good God. He tells us in verse 6 through 9 that God is our Creator. And you see, this is what caused our founding fathers to congeal together. They all believed we had one Creator. One Creator. We all came from the single Creator. That our rights, they even penned, that our rights come from where? Him, not government. You get that? Government doesn't grant you anything but a pain in a rump. They take your money, they spend it unwisely, they tax you, they place laws around you to restrict you. Our rights did not come from our government. Our rights come from God because He is our Creator. Now make sure you catch this. Not a single person in here has more rights than the other person. Every one of us are His creation. You are not a fallout from evolution. Not true. God's word is true. God says He created. We're about to look at the fact that He is our Creator. But they were given to us by God, which means we're supposed to respect it in others. Now catch this. If Brother Grant is honoring the Lord and Luke is honoring the Lord, we don't need a law saying, Luke, don't murder Grant. We don't need a law saying, Grant, don't murder Luke, because we're honoring the Lord. And what we need to wake up in our country and realize is this: many people don't recognize the Creator. They've been led astray by education in school, that they are some offspring of monkeys and time and goop and glop and all of the other. They don't get told that they are unique, because if He's the Creator and we're all His creation, I owe Him due honor to respect what He has created in others. That's the application. He says here in verse 6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them, the stars and the planets, by the breath of His mouth. Notice here, He spoke and it happened. How awesome is our Creator? Think about this, dads and moms. Don't you just wish all you had to do was speak and your kids obeyed? God speaks and worlds come into order. God speaks and stars fill the sky with the breath of His nostril. Sometimes we're struggling for the next breath. It's not a problem for God. He creates the heavens with His word. In verse 7, He does something we struggle with. In fact, in Kentucky today, our prayers need to be for those people who are flooding so bad, because, man, they got some serious water going on over there. But the Lord does this. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the depth in storehouses. It was the Lord who put the waters in their places. We can't. We try to. Army Corps of Engineers is coming to our rescue. Let's straighten out the Mississippi. Let's put levees and dikes that will never be broken, that will never fail, and we'll all be safe from floods. And the coast of Louisiana goes sink, 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 because God had designed those floodwaters to bring down nutrients and silt, which built, 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 built the Delta. God has the ability to control the waters. And so that tells me if we're in danger of flooding, we need to look up and see what's up. Right, this ain't new to y'all. I teach it on Wednesday nights. I teach it on Sunday nights. You can think I'm an egghead if you want to. We need to look to God for more answers about the weather than thinking that if we don't stop burning fossil fuel, we're going to kill the planet. I don't know about you, I'm grateful for air conditioning. If I had to sit and listen to me as long as y'all do, I'd be happy to have air conditioning. I mean, I would love the air conditioning and be comfortable. He is the Creator. He speaks and it's done. He gathers the waters together. And notice verse 7, He lays up the depth in storehouses. Science used to tell us there was no way, there's not enough water to flood the earth globally, like the Bible says. And then they found subterranean storehouses of water. And guess what? Based upon their calculations, it's enough to flood us like the Bible says. Now the believer of God's Word isn't shocked, because we believe God's Word is true. We believe that He did what He said He did. When He spoke, it came about as He spoke. But notice even something simple as that. Science initially, no way it could have done it. It had to have been just a local flood. No. The Bible says it was all over the whole earth. It just comes down to whether you're going to trust the Lord. And that's why when a politician stands up and says, unless you vote for me, it's all going to fail. No, unless our country turns to the Lord, it's all going to fail. Verse 8. In response to this, let all the earth fear the Lord. Notice He didn't say the chosen nation. Notice He didn't say United States of America. Notice He didn't say Africa. Let all the world. This is why I say the whole globe needs to turn to the Lord. He is the Creator of all of us. And even as kids, we learn to sing red and yellow, black and white. All of us are created by Him. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. I mean, do you ever just walk out and look at what He's done and just stand there and try to absorb it and soak it up? Can you stare at a babbling creek and just think, oh, that's nice, and go about your business? I'll throw you an even better one. When's the last time you opened the spigot or the faucet or the tap? I don't know where all of y'all come from. I think I've covered all the main positions of wherever you could be from in Southwest Louisiana. You ever just stopped and noticed we've got good, clean drinking water, especially compared to other nations, coming out that faucet? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Standing in awe of what He has done. Trying to get prepared for vacation Bible school, and I'm really thinking about doing this one. It's called Lightning in a Jar. And I had written about this a couple of Wednesdays ago in the email, and Ben Franklin made what was called a Leyden jar, and so you capture electricity or static electricity in the jar, and then you have somebody else touch it while they're grounded, and they get a big poof out of it. So I'm thinking, man, I got fourth and fifth graders that just don't know what a kind of stinker I am. If we can charge that puppy up and watch them touch it. Y'all know what we used to do, run across the carpet with your socks on, and then you run up and touch somebody's ear. But God gave somebody wisdom to catch it in a jar. Let's think about that for a moment. Too many people in our day are so worried about social media. Am I liked or am I not liked? Ben Franklin's out trying to capture lightning in a jar. I mean, at the least, can't we all agree Elon is pursuing lightning in a jar? Self-driving cars, putting computer chips in paralyzed people's brains so that they can communicate with other people. Sending rockets up and then landing them again? Man, we thought Buck Rogers was going to be great when the 21st century rolled around. He ain't got nothing on what Elon can do. Where has his talent come from? Whether he acknowledges it or not, it has come from the Lord. And we should stand in awe of what the Lord has done. And he reminds us in verse 9, He spoke. And it was. He commanded, and referring back to the waters, it stood fast. It was no problem for God. How great is our God? Your troubles really aren't troubles at all for Him. Now, I'll side with some of you. Lord, I got troubles. Show up, please. I mean, because I know nothing's too hard for Him. I need to be in awe that His power is great, but if He has not exercised His power in my trouble, He's got a better plan. I said that. He's got a better plan. Look at verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to nothing. He makes the devices of the people of none effect. You want to humor God? Tell Him what you're going to do, or tell Him what you aren't going to do. From His lofty heights in heaven, His plan is carried out. And that usually means thwarting the plans of men. Because unfortunately, all of men's plans aren't good. We seek to do harm to other people. And I pray God would thwart every doctor's brain that goes to rip a child out of a mother's womb. You know, may their hands catch a disease that they never recover from till they repent. They can't even hold a scalpel or a vacuum to do such stuff. And let's be honest, while that still occurs in our country, can we have any claim that God ought to bless us? That God should bless us? I pray for His blessing, don't get me wrong. But I have no solid ground to stand on because of some of the things that happen in our country. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to nothing. He makes their devices of none effect. You want something that will stand? Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. This is one of the reasons why, no matter what people are telling you, and if you're listening to a lot of the far-right social media influencers, they're trying to convince people that Israel is no longer God's people. They haven't dealt with the book of Hosea on Wednesday nights with Brother Luke, because if they did, you would see that God's word to Israel will stand for eternity. They are His people, but they're an ungodly people. Yeah, so are we. In fact, I think we could make a good case. The church, little c, this morning, is a very ungodly group. Because in some pulpits, there are pastors standing up telling their people, well, you really can't trust Genesis 1 through 11. That's just based upon a fable. That's just based upon a myth. And people buy it in. There are others that stand up and try to tell you there are more than two genders. Go try to milk a bull. Go try to milk a bull. You ride a bull, you milk a cow. And if you confuse the two, you're going to be in serious trouble. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. If you're ever looking for something that you can cling to and hang on to, and I'm one of those people, I want something that doesn't change. I want something I can depend on. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. He thwarts man's plans, but His word is going to come to pass. Herod tried to stop not the birth of Jesus, but the child Jesus from becoming an adult. Had all the children 2 years of age and under killed. He didn't get him because God knew His plan and God hid him down in Egypt. But by the way, God's hiding him down in Egypt was something God said He was going to do already. I will call my son out of Egypt. And the gospel writer tells us in that God's word was fulfilled. Now you tell me what you can pronounce 1,000 years in the future and make it come to pass even though people are fighting against it. That's who we trust in. The God that can. His counsel stands forever, and so we ought to heed it. By golly, it never ought to happen that Moses is ever taken off of our political buildings. Because once we leave the foundation of God's law, anything is possible. You do realize you remove God's law and make men just a subject, just an object of evolution. It boils down to who got the bigger stick rules the day. Be like the savannah. Now you got big Mr. Proud Lion until the years catch up with him. Then comes along this little young little brute and he beats up the old lion. He goes off and hangs his head. Now we got a new king. I don't want to live that way. I prefer you to have peace in your home. I prefer you to have peace in your home. I prefer you to have peace in your home. Y'all got your own little land. You can grow a garden if you want to. Please don't raise cats anymore. We got enough cats. But you know what I mean? You can feed the birds. You can grow a garden. Man, you can build you a log cabin. And everybody, you can do that. But if we remove the principles upon which this country is based, even if you don't work, you don't eat. And that brings us to verse 12. If you have all of these principles up through verse 11 underscoring you, how could you not be blessed? You're rejoicing in the Lord. You're singing praises to the Lord. You're praising Him with your abilities. You're recognizing that what He speaks is good, what He speaks is true, that what He has done is created all that we see. We're not here by accident. We're here on purpose, a creation of His hand. When we adopt His truth, walk in His counsel, how can we not be blessed? Oh man, it would just be a boring country if everybody did good. Bore me, please. Yeah. Bore me to death that I can go to bed at night without having to lock my doors. Bore me to death that we need no cameras watching over anything because, man, your little dog escapes. Everybody knows it's your dog. They capture your dog. They feed it. They make sure it's good and fat, and they bring him back to you. Well, in the Bible, it would have been a cow. It would have been a sheep. But everybody looked out for everybody. Nobody took advantage of anybody. We can do better than that? No, we can't. The nation whose God is the Lord, if we ever move completely from there, we're toast if we're not already. I'm not a prophet. God didn't tell me any prophetic things over this, but I know this. If God ceases to be our God, no matter how big our military will be, if we cease to have God as our Lord, we're in serious trouble. I'll say it. Muslims should not be allowed to serve in our country any political office. Amen. They don't serve the God I serve. They don't. An atheist ought not be allowed in office. Yeah, but it's the freedom from religion, Brother Luke. No, it isn't. It's freedom of religion. I have the freedom to serve the God. But if I leave that mooring and everybody's God's acceptable, then we end up with a mishmash that nobody will be able to enjoy. Because you realize in some religions, it's okay to kill your enemy. You don't like the way they worship? Cut their head off. You don't like the name they claim? Cut their head off. See, Christianity is not like that. But I know this, we don't let invaders into our church. You come walking in wearing pride colors, spouting off God's a female, you'll be back out the door. I didn't say carried or whatever, I just you're going back out the door. Because that's not welcome here. If they want to come hear about Jesus, we will make sure they hear about Jesus. If they come and say we want to hear the truth, we will make sure they hear the truth. But you will not have the opportunity to infect or thwart the children or even adults that God has placed here. Amen. Not acceptable. God must be chief, not generals. God must be chief, not presidents. And it doesn't matter who he is. But Brother Luke, we're voting for presidents, not pastors. I'm happy for that, some of the pastors I know. But I would rest much better at night if I knew that when the president and the Congress laid their heads down, they're praying to Jesus. I would rest much better during the day knowing that they're all saying, God, guide us, give us wisdom, help us to do well with these people. Man, my heart would be, whoo. I don't have that confidence. But I know this, that if we keep God as Lord, if the church keeps God as Lord, we will be blessed no matter what comes our way. I can even make a case for the last part of verse 12. The people he has chosen for his own inheritance. Peter tells us that we are a chosen generation. That we are a holy people. So in a very real sense, you are the recipient of God's chosen graces through Christ Jesus, through what Jesus has done for us. We're not done yet. Verse 13, the Lord looked from heaven, he beholds all the sons of men. From the place of his inhabitation, he looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Know this, God is not on vacation. He observes all that is happening. Then why doesn't he do something, Brother Luke? Because God's watch runs different than Luke's watch. I don't even know that God has a watch. I mean, he looked down, the day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day. His watch don't work like my watch works. He gave us a calendar. Or he gave us four seasons, we know. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. And then we know after winter comes spring, summer, fall. He gave us that, but he doesn't operate according to my calendar. But he does see. Anyone who's involved in that which is unrighteous, that which is not true, that which does not exalt him, that which does not honor him, that which does not cause his name to be lifted up, make sure you hear, to make sure they hear. He's watching. And I think I can safely say this. I don't see any miniatures in here. This is why I am totally against Santa making a list and checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice, because that's a takeoff and a ripoff of what God is doing. God is watching. It's not the kids that should be afraid. It's the adults that are leading kids astray. Revelation chapter 20 tells us what? He's got a book, and it's got everything written down in it. Well, he might be in heaven, but he's watching, and he sees. Verse 15, he tells us that he fashions their hearts. All that he sees, he considers all their works. God has made them all, but he is watching what they do with what he has entrusted them with. So let me pick on church. God gave you a musical gift. How come you ain't sharing it with us? Well, that's a fair question.
Yeah.
Now, I've never stood by Brother John, but I'm told Brother John can't sing. Well, you told me. He says he can't sing. He doesn't play the harmonica. He doesn't play the guitar. And he says sometimes when he plays a radio, he's still off key. But everybody in here ain't Brother John. Everybody in here is not Brother John. You got a song in your heart. Why can't you stand before us and bless the congregation with the song God placed in your heart? Move on, Brother Luke. Talk about the sinners. I am. God gave you a gift and you're not... He fashioned your heart. If he's given you a gift of music, if he's given you a talented gift to be able to play something, if he fashioned you that, notice this, he's considering what you're doing with what he entrusted you with. Wonder if he's doing good with it. Sorry? He's observing. He's watching. See, we like it as long as he's watching the bad people. That's just, what do you call bad? Anyone not doing good with what the Lord's entrusted them is bad. Yeah. See, it's not a problem out there. It's a problem in here. Okay. You can go ahead and get uncomfortable. It's about to get worse. Verse 16, there is no king saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain or a foolish thing for safety to be trusted in. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Everything that they trusted in, God says, nothing. Powerless, pointless, useless before him. God's leading his people out, formerly servants and slaves, to Egypt. They're walking through the Red Sea because God has dried it up. And here comes Pharaoh with his army. And they've got chariots, thundering hooves, making their way behind the people of Israel. And they get down where God's people have already walked across safely. And the Bible tells us God begins to knock their wheels off their chariots. The power of Egypt is being thumped by the finger of God. What Pharaoh trusted in led to his death. Doesn't mean God doesn't use armies, but he took Gideon's and whittled it down to 300. Took David and a close inner circle of men, and they could do matchless things, not because they were good and great, but because they followed a great God. And our country needs to realize this. It doesn't matter what weapons we can make. It doesn't matter how many we can fashion. It doesn't matter how great we think our power and our might. Yeah, but SEAL Team 6 and Rangers and... if God's not on our side, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And I think I've told all y'all before, but if you haven't heard this yet, make sure you hear it this morning. There is not a single way in the world that the United States can eliminate Iran from the global map. It cannot happen. It won't. Because God tells us in His Word, Iran, formerly known as Medo-Persian, and there's a lot of talk about people calling them the Persians now, which I find absolutely fascinating. They factor back in as time progresses. We can't eliminate them because God's going to use them. If God's going to use them, well, we can't stop them. When you're dealing with the people that God's going to use, it takes great wisdom to know what to do. No matter how much pontification a person may do. Because no king is saved by the volume of his army. Ask Gideon. Ask the Lord, one angel, 180,000 people. And you ain't even got an army. God can send an angel to your aid. You're going to win. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Your pistol is not going to be your savior if God says, not today. Yeah, but I learned how to fight. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength for the horses. But in verse 16, he says the same thing about man. He's not going to deliver by his great strength. So what you trust in can't be your savior. Your own strength can't be your savior. Instead, in verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord, the one that's observing, back in verse 13 and 14 and 15, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Upon them that hope in His mercy. Now let's not look at the benefits yet, but just ask this question. Do you fear God? And is His mercy your hope? If you fear God, and if you hope in His mercy, then in verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. God delivers from death. That's why I'm clinging to Jesus. Who else has died, risen 3 days later, never died again? Lazarus died again. The widow's son died again. Jesus died once and for all. And if I'm in Christ, I live for eternity in Him. He delivers our soul from death. Not an army, not horses, not Smith and Wesson. He keeps us alive in famine. Not the farmers, not the grocery store, not Campbell's soup. The Lord keeps them alive in famine. The prophet went to the widow, and remember, it says specifically she's gathering a few sticks to make the last little bread they got. Man, and if I'm fixing to cook a fire, I don't put 3 or 4 pieces of charcoal down, okay? If I'm going to burn some food, we're going to big fire, cooked for a long time. She's gathering a few little sticks just to make her little last little meal. And because she obeyed the word of the Lord, God caused her meal to last her during the famine. That's our God. So then in verse 20, here's your response. Verse 20, 21, and 22. Our soul waits for the Lord. You see that? He is our help and shield. We're going to wait on the Lord. No, that doesn't mean bringing water to His table. That means you're going to wait till He moves. When He moves, then we move. Number 2, our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. We're waiting on the Lord, but we ain't waiting to rejoice. We're rejoicing in Him now because we know what He's going to do. Proof's in the pudding, Brother Luke. I ain't rejoicing until I see it happen. You got it backwards. You rejoice in Him, and He brings His word alive in your place. Our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. His name means so much more than any earthly name. Even the very name Jesus means God saves. I don't save me. Army don't save me. Horses don't save me. Jesus saves. In Jesus we have salvation. And we're going to trust in His holy name. And then he says in verse 22, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Mercy. You break into my house at 2 o'clock in the morning and ask me for grace, you're asking for the wrong thing. You don't need grace at that point. You need mercy. Mercy means the boom about to be lowered on you because you've done something you shouldn't have done. You don't throw yourself on the grace of the court if you're guilty. You throw yourself upon the mercy of the court. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us. How many of us, raise your hand if so, can claim that you are sinless outside of Christ compared to the world out there that doesn't know Christ? The only reason you have a standing before God is because of who Jesus is, not because of who you are. It's because of His mercy to us. Somebody says, well, what makes you so special? Jesus died for me. And you can be special too. Because if you'll call upon Him by faith, that makes you special. Let your mercy, O Lord. We don't impress Him with our works. We don't impress Him at the ballot box. We don't impress Him by holding signs up. We don't impress Him with anything we do. There are acts of obedience, don't misunderstand me. But mercy simply means this. Instead of giving me what I deserve, He withholds it. And the Bible tells me that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death. I deserve death. But God so loved Luke and us, God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son, Jesus, who laid His life down in my place. He took my punishment. He paid my pardon. He took my guilt and drove it as far away as the east is from the west. Jesus did for me what no president, congressman, or horse or army could ever do. Jesus, we need the mercy of the Lord. Even as we hope in Him. Lord, don't give us what we deserve. And if we're honest, our nation's hands aren't clean. They're not. But that's why we need Jesus. Yeah, but just Americans think they're elite. No, the other countries are afraid to say they're guilty too. There is not a nation in this world, there is not a peoples in this world that can say their hands are clean, period. Every single one of us have ancestors that were abominable before the Lord. Now you need to hear that again. Every single one of us have ancestors that did not honor the Lord. And none of us can claim any excellence above another. We are what we are because God has been merciful to us as a nation. Now, I'm all about celebrating that. I'm all about celebrating what God has done for us. Oh, you love your country. I love my Lord who gave me this great country. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But that means that the people that make up the nation are the Lord's. That means you belong to the Lord. Do you belong to Jesus today? Well, Brother Luke, you said He's my Creator. We must. There's a difference between Creator and Savior. He's a Creator of all. He's the Savior of those who call upon Him and believe in Him. Is Jesus your Savior? And if not, why not? He requires too much of me. He pays your requirements. Trust in Him. He will give you new desires. He will give you a new heart. He will give you all that you need. But trust that He has paid what you cannot. Because outside of Him, you have no hope. Outside of Jesus and His mercy, our nation has no hope. I encourage you to be as patriotic as you possibly can be. But if somebody asks you why you have such excitement and hope, your answer ought to be and better be, because I serve a great God. I serve a great God. If you don't know Jesus today, will you stand before us and confess Him today? My fellow brothers and sisters, there is no nation that has been perfect. None. But that doesn't mean we can't celebrate the mercy that He has given to us. I am grateful that 250 years ago, some men were willing to put it all on the line. so that I could enjoy what I can today. They had no assurance that they weren't going to be put to death for rebelling against the King of England. But they trusted in the Lord that we trust in. He gave us a great opportunity. What will we do with what He has entrusted to us? And I'm going to say it. He's watching. What will He see? Let's pray.